Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining this week is lifelong New Yorker, actor, and progressive advocate Cynthia Nixon, a woman who I very much admire. She is, of course, the Democratic challenger to Governor Andrew Cuomo. Welcome, Cynthia Nixon.
Thank you, Alan, so much for having me on.
It's great to talk to you again. And I guess the first thing I want to ask you is this. The polls are showing that you trail behind the governor. But the primaries this year have shown that the polls have been very, very wrong. In the case of Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, well, she was losing by 30 points in the poll, and she won by
36, actually.
Yeah.
I think she was down 36.
And she won by 15. So that means about a 50-point deviation from what they were saying was going to happen. You think there's a possibility that's going to happen in your election in the primary?
I do. I mean, I think it's, of course, Alexandria is a really stupendous example of it, but we have a number of shocking upsets. We also had Dana Balter, of course, in Syracuse. A week ago, we had Andrew Gillum, who was being projected by the polls at 11%. He's now the Democratic nominee for governor of Florida. On Tuesday, we had Ayanna Pressley in Massachusetts, again, a tremendous upset against an incumbent, somebody who was thought to be way behind, and she rode to victory. I think it's important to know how many people have registered to vote in New York State in just the last 2 years as Democrats. 583,000. That's almost as many people as the entire number of Democrats that voted 4 years ago. And what we're seeing, not just in New York City, I was in six different cities upstate this weekend, just enormous enthusiasm, events with hundreds of people, dozens of people canvassing for us from each event, thousands of volunteers across the state, enormous excitement since the debate. And, you know, this is when voters are really tuning back in after Labor Day and getting excited about a real progressive alternative to Andrew Cuomo.
Let me really ask as hard a hitting question as I can. A couple of newspapers, big newspapers, have endorsed Andrew Cuomo. And yet I don't get that fully myself because he's so surrounded by people of his own choosing who turn out to be quite corrupt. And they say, the newspapers say in their editorials, well, the reason we're doing this is because he can get things done. What things?
I'm with you. I think the New York Times in particular, it was a really baffling endorsement. They talked about all the corruption. They talked about all the things that he hadn't gotten done. And then they talked about all the issues on which in the last 6 months we've pushed him to the left and he started to do the right thing. And then they said, but for the next 4 years, maybe it'll be different. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. And I agree with you that, you know, he has a lot of experience in Albany, but that doesn't actually mean he's good at governing. He's really great at grabbing headlines and he's great at political fundraising. But when you look how he's woefully mismanaged his economic the development dollars, you know, three quarters of a billion dollars going to LP Simonelli, one of his biggest donors, with, you know, fewer than 500 jobs to show for it. If you look at his decision after decision to redirect hundreds of millions of dollars from the MTA budget and resulting in the very avoidable emergency that is the New York City subway. Right now, he is not what I would he's what I would call a micromanager, but he is not a good manager, and he's certainly not addressing the main issue that I think New York State faces, which is the incredible economic, racial, and gender inequality, which has only grown under him. And we need a governor who will really fight for tenants, which Andrew Cuomo can't do because he receives millions and millions of dollars from the real estate industry, $2 million just in the last year alone. Somebody who has balked at fully funding education, and somebody whose methods of economic development have proved corrupt and ineffective. We need a governor who's going to invest in infrastructure and invest in minority and women-owned businesses and invest in human service jobs. There are much more predictable and effective ways of creating jobs than handing off hundreds of millions of dollars to your top donors with little strings attached.
So there is pay-to-play here, right? I mean, that's what this is all about. He's collected, over $30 million. He's spending it. You can't turn
36.
The. Yeah, you can't turn. Yeah, get it right, Alan. You can't turn the you can't turn the television on without seeing a Cuomo ad. And
yes, I think he spent $8 million in the last 3 weeks alone, and I think that says volumes about how we've got him on the run.
So you think he's fearful that he could lose despite the polls?
I think he's scared. Otherwise, he wouldn't be. He didn't spend this kind of money 4 years ago. Not even close to it.
So, how do you energize your base? How do you get people to come out and vote?
So we speak to people about the issues that they care about. We speak to them about how his empowerment of the IDC and the Republicans of the
Independent Democratic Conference, the group of people who kept the Republicans in power.
Right, that he has had a hand in creating and he has nurtured and claimed no responsibility for. But 2 weeks after I entered the race, he held a press conference and said he convinced them to disband. And because of his empowerment of the IDC and handing over control to the Republicans and letting the Republicans gerrymander their own districts, which is something he did as soon as he entered office, what it means is all the progressive priorities that we've had for New York State have largely gone unfulfilled, whether you're talking about the Reproductive Health Act, whether you're talking about the New York Dream Act, whether you're talking about campaign finance reform or voting reform or ethics reform or strengthening our rent laws or becoming a leader in renewable energy, all the things that we have the ability to do here in New York because we have such a progressive voting base as a 2-to-1 Democratic state, we're not doing. And with Donald Trump in the White House, Democrats and progressives are incentivized as never before, in my lifetime at least, to enact foundational change, not just for New Yorkers, but as a counterbalance to Donald Trump. I'm tired of California getting all the glory. New York is the rightful seat of the resistance, and we're just doing that rhetorically right now without policy. Look, if we really care about fighting the Trump agenda, if we really care about protecting our undocumented people, why hasn't Andrew Cuomo offered driver's licenses to undocumented people? This is something I will do by executive order on my first day in office. It would be an enormous, it would totally turn off the spigot of the flow of deportations we're seeing. There's more than a quarter of a million undocumented New Yorkers who would apply for and get driver's licenses. And it would be, we would get, I think it's something like $65 million in revenue from not only licenses, but from sales tax and gas tax and insurance. We want every driver on the road to be licensed, but most especially, not having a license is the number one way that ICE is coming into our communities and racially profiling people, tearing families apart, turning New York into a police state. We have a very simple solution, but Andrew Cuomo refuses to enact it, which he could with the flick of a pen.
Cynthia Nixon, you've said you'd revive the Moreland Act Commission if you're elected. Will you remind everybody who's listening what the Moreland Act Commission was and what happened there?
So the Moreland Commission was a supposedly independent body that had been convened to investigate and root out corruption in Albany, something that is very important and very long overdue. It was doing a terrific job. And the fact of the matter is the governor's people kept trying to influence who they were investigating and how they were investigating. And then the Moreland Commission started looking into Andrew Cuomo and to some of his top donors. And Andrew Cuomo shut the Moreland Commission down overnight. If he had nothing to hide, why did he do that? Also, on my first day in office, I will call for a second Moreland Commission that will be independent, that I will not be able to shut down, and I would ask Preet Bharara if he would consider heading that body, because he is the person who came in after Andrew Cuomo shut down the Moreland Commission and seized the files that had been investigated because he knew that they were very important evidence. And if we want someone to really investigate and root out corruption, Preet is the kind of person who would be a fantastic candidate to run the new Moreland Commission.
So now, the campaign finance issue, how do you deal with that? I mean, right now, you know, it does seem like it's pay to play to me and to an awful lot of other
people. Absolutely. Well, like so many issues that we face in New York State, Andrew Cuomo hasn't had the political will or leadership to enact them, but the solutions are really clear. What we need to do if we want campaign finance reform is to close the LLC loophole. The LLC loophole is a loophole by which corporations can donate a literally unlimited amount of money to political campaigns. This is something that Andrew Cuomo said he would, when he campaigned in 2010, this is something he said he would close, but since then he's received $16 million through the LLC loophole, which is more than every single legislator in Albany combined. To say he's disincentivized to close the LLC loophole doesn't begin to describe it. I will have the advantage of coming into office not beholden to any of my corporate donors because I don't have any, because I'm not accepting a single dime in corporate contributions in this campaign. And I think closing the LLC loophole is really important. I think a Moreland Commission is really important. I think returning to the comptroller, the ability to oversee state contracts and creating a database of deals so that New Yorkers can see what our state dollars are being spent on, all of these are really important, as is matching funds for campaign finance, matching funds so that when small donors contribute to campaigns, the state comes in and amplifies their voice. We have it in the city. We have a 6-to-1 matching program, and I think we should consider that for the state. I think we should also consider and not just consider but enact reducing the amount of money that individuals can contribute to state races. Look, if you're running for governor, an individual can donate $21,000 for the primary and another 40 some for the general. It's almost 60 some thousand dollars from just an individual. That's completely out of whack. It's way more than you can contribute to a presidential campaign. And the only reason that we have that is we favor wealthy people and we favor incumbents. And we need to greatly reduce the amount of money that individuals, but most especially corporations, are able to spend on political campaigns.
So talk to me about their accusation, the opposition to you, that you don't have enough experience. How do you deal with that?
So here's the experience that I do have. I'm a person who grew up in New York, a lifelong New Yorker, daughter of a single mom, public school graduate, public school parent, who has fought for LGBTQ equality, for women's rights, for abortion rights, and for equal funding for public schools for the last almost two decades. I think that's the kind of progressive fighter that New York needs right now. What we're seeing throughout the United States is that voters are so far ahead of our party leadership and so many of our elected leaders in terms of diagnosing the problems that we face and in terms of offering really foundational change solutions to those problems. As I said earlier, just because Andrew Cuomo is an Albany insider and has a lot of experience in governing doesn't actually mean he's very good about it. We're the first most unequal state in the entire country right now. And it's not just because we have Wall Street and so many wealthy people. We have more than half of the kids in our upstate cities living below the poverty line. Syracuse has the most concentrated Black and Latino poverty of any other city in the entire United States. That shouldn't be. That doesn't reflect New York values, and it doesn't reflect the wealth that we have here to change that inequity. Our schools are the second most unequally funded in the entire country, and that's just unacceptable.
We are talking to Cynthia Nixon. She's running against Andrew Cuomo in the gubernatorial primary. It's about to come up. So your running mate, Jermaine Williams, creates an interesting twist in the election. His race is with Kathy Hochul, isn't it? What does that have to do with you?
Yeah, so look, Kathy Hochul, I think it's important that voters know what Kathy Hochul has stood for. She got an A rating from the NRA at a time, the last time she was in, you know, in a place where she could, in a position where she could actually vote on gun laws and make her positions known. She got an A from the NRA. And she is somebody who, when she was the Erie County clerk, when Elliot Spitzer said he was going to expand the access to driver's licenses for undocumented people for exactly the reason that we should be doing it now, she said if any undocumented people came into her office to apply for a driver's license, she would call the police. In other words, she would essentially have them deported. Jumaane Williams is somebody with a great track record of fighting against stop and frisk, fighting for police accountability, fighting for tenants. And again, somebody who is in touch with the vast majority of New Yorkers and fighting for the change that we need in New York, not just perpetuating the status quo, but somebody who is reimagining the role of lieutenant governor, not as somebody who is just seconds everything the governor says, but more in the role of a public advocate, more in the role of somebody who is there as the voice of the people to hold the governor accountable. And I think that's a terrific rethinking of the lieutenant governor position.
Cynthia Nixon, let me ask you about something that is of great concern to me. As a lifelong university professor at SUNY, it seems to me that SUNY has been politicized in a way that it never had been before. That it's become sort of an adjunct to the governor himself calling the shots as opposed to what's good for the kids. What do you make of that?
Yes, I mean, certainly if you talk about the great underfunding of SUNY, it's a terrible, terrible move by the governor. If you look at his Excelsior program, which is frankly a sham. It only applies to 3.2% of CUNY and SUNY students, that they're only eligible for it in very tiny numbers. It's something for a small slice of the middle class, really, and them alone. But I think what you're speaking to is how Andrew Cuomo has used SUNY to do economic development, but in a way that has not actually created jobs. Things like the Syracuse Film Hub, which he spent $15 million on and recently sold for a dollar. There's a reason that Alan Calieros, his chief economic czar, who with SUNY, was going to create all of these jobs and high-tech jobs, Alan Calieros is headed to prison. And the program has been an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah, you know, and then, of course, there's this idea that they're going to make middle-class kids eligible for scholarships, but when they apply for them, there seems to be a problem.
Yes, there are so many strings attached that very few people qualify. Again, it's a last-dollar-in program. You have to go full-time. In other words, you can't work also. Your parents have to be able to support you. Your parents have to be able to pay for books and room and board and transportation and all the other costs associated with going to college. If you slip in your GPA, not only do you not qualify for the scholarship anymore, you're actually on the hook for the money that they've spent on you. You have to spend 4 years in New York State after you graduate, or again, you're on the hook for all the money. The vast majority of New Yorkers who can't afford to go to college and want to are people who need to be going part-time because they need to be working at the same time. And it's not necessarily the cost of tuition that's the thing that's preventing them. It's all the other costs associated with college. And Excelsior does nothing for them.
So I guess I want to talk to you a little bit about your last name, Nixon. Now, a lot of,
yes.
a lot of, a lot of people remember Dick Nixon. Does that hurt you?
I don't think so. We actually have had fun in our campaign with finding old Nixon buttons on eBay, Nixon now and Nixon's the one, that kind of thing.
I got it. I got it. I only got 2 more minutes, Cynthia, so I want to ask you really quickly.
Yes, please.
What about the subways?
So I'm on the subways every day, and I, like the 6 million other New Yorkers that ride them, know firsthand what a disaster they've become, how they've delays have tripled under Andrew Cuomo. Average train speeds are slower now than they were in 1950, and how we have the worst on-time record of any transit system in the entire world.
But Cynthia, he says that's not his fault. It's a city agency.
He's wrong. He also says he's not in charge of the MTA, which is patently false. The governor has been in charge of the MTA since the year before I was born, 1965, and any attempt to say otherwise, it's simply his attempt to wriggle out of actually finding a plan to pay for it. Not only have I committed to the Andy Belford's rescue plan, I actually have a plan to pay for it through a millionaire's tax, through congestion pricing, and a polluter's tax. And we can't wait. Every month, the subway gets worse and worse and worse. If we wait, the longer we wait, the harder it will be to fix. The worse the delays are, the worse people's lives will be snarled up by the trains, as they are already, and the more expensive it will be. We don't have a choice. We have to fix the New York City subway. It is literally what the city runs on. And if we let the New York City subway die, the New York City dies along with it, as does one of the chief economic engines of the entire state.
Yeah, he sure seemed to say when the 2nd Avenue subway, the little couple stops opened up, he sure beat his chest then, didn't he, and said, this is my doing.
Yeah. He was in charge of the MTA then. And look, it's great that we've added those stops. I will point out that those are on the Upper East Side, the fanciest part of New York. But we spent $4.5 billion on those 3 stops. Surely we don't need to be building cathedrals underground. What we need is new stations, is refurbished stations, but most especially we need to replace the signals that are from that are left over from the 1930s that are causing all the delays. Andrew Cuomo doesn't like to invest in infrastructure. He likes to invest in things that he can take a picture in front of for a nice photo op and say, look, I built this beautiful station. But what about the millions of people who are trapped underground every day, late for work, late for school, late to pick up their kids? We need a governor who is going to understand that investing in the subway just doesn't mean building pretty new stations, but actually investing in the infrastructure that causes that allows the subways to run. He says he's a great manager. He knows how to get things done. He is a governor who literally can't make the trains run on time, whether you're talking about the New York City subway, Metro North, or the LIRR, which has had the worst 2 years performance record, I think, ever under Andrew Cuomo.
And we are out of time. Our guest has been Cynthia Nixon, who is very kind to us. You could all hear that she's on a cell phone. She's been moving around, but she knows this program is on virtually every public radio station in the state. We are extraordinarily thankful, Cynthia, that you're spending
this time with us.
Okay,
it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Okay. She's the Democratic challenger to Governor Andrew Cuomo, next week's gubernatorial primary. Again, thank you.
Thursday, September 13th. Don't forget, it's a Thursday.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.